We'll be looking at Mark 16, verse 20, the last verse of the Gospel of Mark. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. In the previous verse, we had seen the ascension of Jesus Christ. In verse 19 of the same chapter, it had said, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." The ascension affects the servants of the Lord today. 10 days after Jesus ascended back into heaven, an amazing event took place. You can read about it in Acts 1 and 2. The disciples, which numbered about 120 at the time, were praying. They were in perfect agreement with each other in a room in Jerusalem. While they prayed, the Holy Spirit, promised by Jesus Christ, fell on them, and they were given his power to preach his message to a lost world. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that is still happening today. On that day, those that had been in that room preached the gospel in Jerusalem, and 3,000 people from all over the known world were saved. The disciples and their new converts took the gospel message far and wide. Everywhere they went, they told everyone they met that Jesus died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Many thousands of people heard this good news, and they came to faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel continued to spread, so much so that the disciples were accused of turning the world upside down. Acts 17:6 tells us, "But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.'" If only that was true today of us, of believers throughout the world today, that it would be said of us that they turned the world upside down. And what they actually were doing was just what the Lord had told them to do in the text. Look at verse 15 of Acts 17. Of Mark 15. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" That's all the first disciples did, and that's all that we're commanded to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They simply shared the gospel. The same thing that we're commanded to do. Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What happened 2,000 years ago? What happened today? The gospel message has not changed. We have the privilege of taking the same message the disciples preached to our world today. All around us are the lost and dying, and they need to hear what Jesus made a way for them, that Jesus made a way for them to be saved. People need to know that someone loves them enough to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, Christ commanded us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The question is, will they all listen to us? No. Will they all respond by coming to Christ for salvation? No. While many won't, some will. When Paul and Barnabas preached in Antioch, this is what the Spirit of God said about salvation there. Acts 13, verse 48. 13, 48. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Not everyone who hears the message will believe, but some will. Those that have been appointed to eternal life will believe. The Holy Spirit will grant faith and repentance to many throughout the world. And we need to do as the early disciples did and preach to everyone, everywhere. Jesus has already ascended back into heaven. But notice what this text says in Mark 16. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Christ has already ascended back into heaven. You see in verse 19, he was received up into heaven. But we're told in our text in Mark 16, verse 20, that he's working with them. That phrase means that he was a partner in their labor. How is that possible? He's in heaven and they're upon the earth. How did Jesus work with his disciples? First, he did it through his intercession. As we saw in an earlier study, in a previous study, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession. He's prayed for us and is praying for us. He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. All the power that we need to accomplish our mission is given to us because Christ is making intercession for us. How was Christ working with them and how is he working with us? He's doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God came, he did not want Jesus. He did what Jesus was unable to do. When the Spirit of God came, what took place was that Jesus was, when he was here in the human body, he was limited to one geographic location at a time. But now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he's able to be all over the world. If he was with you, he could not be with me at that time. When the Spirit of God came, though, he came into every single one of the Lord's followers. Never think for a moment that if you're a child of God, that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you. He does dwell in every believer, or you can't be a believer. He came into the disciples on the day of Pentecost. He has entered into every saint since that day, at the moment of their conversion. Look at Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Notice, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Who dwells in you, child of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Christ makes intercession, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, is accomplishing his mission here on earth. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 tells us, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Galatians 4, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. The Spirit has been sent and now dwells in the hearts of His people. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. As we labor for the Lord in this day, we can be assured that He'll always be with us. We can also be certain that He will stand with us to empower us and to use us for His glory. He still works with His people. I praise the Lord that I do not have to do what He has called me to do alone. For that's a beautiful verse in Mark, there where it says, and he was working with them. He's working with us, brothers and sisters. So therefore, press on. It gets hard sometimes. This life is a battle. This life is a journey. We're sojourners just passing through this world. It gets hard. Many, I know today, they're burdened down because they're trying to do it in their flesh, trying to do it themselves, as opposed to depending on the Holy Spirit working through them. Realize this, as the people preached, Christ was always confirming His word with demonstration of divine power. Divine power will be manifested. He confirms His word by touching a lost sinner's heart. He draws them to Himself. And God saves them when they come in faith. He changes the person's life and confirms His word by making them new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Christ confirms His word in the lives of His people. He's made us new creatures. He confirms His word by keeping His promises in His people's lives. He promised us that the gates to hell would not prevail. He confirms His word by speaking through His people through His word. He confirms His word through His word. He confirms His word by keeping His promise in the lives of His people. He confirms His word by the new creatures. Christ confirms His word through the divine power manifested through the word. He confirms His word through His word. And that word is like water to a thirsty soul. It's like food to a starving man. It's like the balm to a wounded spirit. And thank God that He confirms His word in a demonstration of power for His glory. For His glory. The ascension of Jesus Christ was an amazing event. It opened the door of that ancient city, Jerusalem. It opened the door of that city for all of the redeemed to follow. It allowed the Holy Spirit to descend, to fill and thrill the saints of God. The ascension, the put God's people to work for God's glory in the world. And we're to thank God for the ascension. Mark closes his book with the word amen. We often see that word as a word of finality. We close our prayers with it. We say it back when we've heard something, what we think is the final word on a matter. The word amen means let it be, so be it, and so it is. When Mark uses it, he's not ending the story of the Lord Jesus Christ or the church. When Mark says amen in our text, he's saying, let it be, and so it is. In other words, Mark is saying, there's more to the story. It isn't over yet. Be encouraged, brother or sister. There's more to this story. It's not over yet. The gates of hell will not prevail. No matter what the situation looks like, no matter what your situation looks like, Jesus Christ is in control. He's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession. The Holy Spirit is moving and empowering the people of God today. This ain't over yet. There's more to this story. Not over yet. Christ is still in heaven, still seated at the right hand. He's still praying for the people. The Spirit of God is still here confirming the preaching of the Word of God. He's still saving lost souls, and he's still changing people's lives. The church is still here telling a lost world that Jesus Christ saves, that Jesus Christ is the one that would come and die for the sins of his people. And the question is, you're still here, so you're either a lost soul that needs to be saved, or you're a redeemed saint of God that should be telling the lost world about Jesus Christ. What does his ascension mean for you? If you're lost, it means you need to come to be saved. And if you're saved, it means that you need to commit yourself to a life of service. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, then you come. And you come as he calls. If you're lost, you need to be saved. If you're saved, you need to tell the lost they need to be saved. Pretty simple. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. He's confirming his word throughout the world. There's more to the story. It isn't over yet. Amen.